Jaylen Brown wants to play against the Clippers. He's also got a message for the haters about his contract extension. And I want to recast that Passing the Torch series. We're back. I got my stuff back. Millie's, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey, listen, music. An intro, an actual produced podcast. Isn't this fun? I've got my stuff back. I'm back in Boston after that trip to Houston. I'm John Corrales of MassLive.com. Want to thank you for sticking with me through the kind of craziness of the past couple of days and my idiocy of leaving my stuff behind. I'm going to Chicago for All-Star Weekend. I will bring all of my stuff. I don't know what I'm going to do, what I'm going to have. Maybe I'll have some bonus content. I really, honestly, I don't know what to expect. I know there are a lot of events and there's the potential for some cool things. So I will actually have my stuff. So follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John, and you'll figure out if I've got cool stuff from the weekend in Chicago. In the meantime, this is the Thursday podcast. And talking about a few different things, like I said in the beginning, but let's start with some of the news of the day before I move into some of the other things. Jaylen Brown was listed as probable by the Boston Celtics, probable with a calf contusion. And the immediate reaction is, well, what the hell, man? Why is Jaylen going to play? I am not happy that he is probably playing. I am thrilled that he has the mentality that he wants to play. That's awesome. I don't think that it's necessary that he plays because I know that he's going to have this week off, but with the ankles, why push it? Why push it that one extra day? I don't like that idea. However, I'm not Jaylen. I'm not the medical staff. I want Jaylen to sit because I want him to be healthy. I want him to be healthy down the stretch. I don't want any lingering problems. I want him to be healthy for the playoffs. I want him to reach his full potential. I want the team to reach their full potential. So if he sits, my opinion right now is that it'd probably be better for him. Will it cost the Celtics? Could they lose the game against the Clippers? Maybe, but they might lose the game against the Clippers anyway. But we'll see how he feels in the morning. They're going to have a morning shoot around, so maybe something changes. Maybe he talks and explains his ankles, how they feel, and all of that stuff. He's said a lot about it already, and again, I feel happy that he wants to play and he's got that mentality. If he's going to play like he did against the Rockets, then I don't know exactly how helpful that really is. That's going to be a hell of a challenge for the Celtics, and I'd rather have a healthy team than a 70% Jaylen not healthy team. So if we're just talking about the win on Thursday against the Clippers that the Celtics are trying to get, I'd rather not have the Jaylen that was out there against the Rockets, because even though he was hitting shots, I don't think he was entirely effective on the defensive end, and that cost the Celtics. And you need to be effective on the defensive end against the Clippers. I'd rather have somebody out there that can move laterally side to side to play. Okay, just for this game's perspective, that's what I want for that. So we'll see. Jaylen's going to give it a go, I think, and we'll just assess after that. The other news item that is interesting is that the Celtics rearranged their travel plans in Los Angeles so that players and coaches, staff, anybody that wants to can attend the Kobe Bryant Memorial which is happening on the 24th in Los Angeles. Adam Himmelsbach in the Globe got a couple of the details there that the Celtics were originally going to fly out earlier, and they adjusted their travel schedule. And Tatum especially is appreciative of that, because a lot of guys who were heavily influenced by Kobe Bryant and saw him as either a hero or a mentor or just, you know, a hell of a basketball player that gave them a little bit of advice or something from time to time. I mean, that's something that's going to mean a lot to those players. And to have that opportunity to just happen to be in Los Angeles at that time and to have that chance to go there, I don't think the Celtics would have been smart to pass that up. This is an important time for a lot of people. So kudos to the Celtics for making that adjustment. I'm going to take a break and come back with Jaylen Brown on the YouTube show Take It There with Taylor Rooks, because he had some pretty strong things to say about his contract extension, and it's and also his anxiety, which is very interesting. I'll play you a couple of clips when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Jaylen Brown was on the latest episode of Take It There with Taylor Rooks on the Bleacher Report YouTube channel. I would suggest you go and watch it. It's about 14 minutes worth of Jaylen and Taylor Rooks talking about various things. He goes through his a wardrobe, kind of like a personal shopper type of thing. And they talk about his style, which is interesting. They talk about a lot of different things about Jaylen's past, his, you know, some of the things that he said, the way it's a good thing for you to go watch. So it's on the Bleacher Report YouTube page. I pulled a couple of clips because he said two things that I found interesting. So Jaylen obviously got his contract extension this summer. It was 4 years. The guarantee is 4 years, $103 million. The total potential contract is $115 million. So, it's $115. And so if he hits certain incentives, like defensive player of the year or all NBA, like, they're not likely, but they're possible, I suppose. MVP. If Jaylen Brown wins MVP over the next 4 years, then double his contract for all I care. But so he got this contract extension, and immediately there were people who were like, what? And so he had a reaction to that. Here, listen to this.
I think most people thought I peaked in my second year in the league, and I didn't peak at 21. I'm only gonna get better from here. Certain people think that I'm playing out of my mind now because they didn't expect it, you know. So that's part of the reason why I cut my hair, because people will put you in a box for certain stipulations or try to identify you a certain way, and I wanted people to kind of see me different this year.
We've talked about this in the podcast before. Expectations play a role in how we see everything. And so, yeah, my expectations of Jaylen Brown, I've said them on this podcast dozens of times, more, maybe. And Jaylen has exceeded all of my expectations and all of many other people's expectations, which is great. I think that's something he should be proud of. He's also very hyper aware of what the expectations were. And part of my takeaway here is that, like, he understands what's being said of him. He knows narrative around him. And who knows what he hears? I don't know if he hears what I say, or if he listens to any of the other Celtics podcasts, or if he reads what we write. And it's an interesting kind of relationship that he has with the city of Boston, the media, the attention. He has said in the past, you know, he's made comments about the media. The media wants to handle things a certain way. And I do always question when players talk about the media. I always wonder exactly what they're talking about. Are they talking about beat writers like me who are in the locker room? We certainly qualify as the media, obviously, but is that what he's looking at? Or is he listening to sports talk radio or any sort of studio show where people are talking? I mean, that qualifies as the media. I always wonder what players are thinking and where they see and hear things that makes them say, oh, the media says this. Because honestly, frankly, from my perspective, what I do, this podcast, my writing, versus what Felger and Maz do, they couldn't be more opposite. They're North Pole, South Pole. You know what I mean? It's really just the opposite things, but we're all lumped into the media, and it's different. So for Jalen, I'm curious. And maybe I'll get a chance to talk to him about it someday. But I'm kind of curious what he sees as the media that he felt the need to kind of prove people wrong. So with that being said, let me get into the next clip, because he continues this kind of thought about playing in Boston and the anxiety that he, I guess, naturally feels, but then is enhanced by playing in the city of Boston.
It was tough. I suffer from a lot of anxiety. When you have so many expectations, especially in a city like Boston, which is like they want to win. If you're not performing, you start to lose your confidence, you start to doubt yourself. A part of me coming into this year was like not dealing with that negativity, like saying, F that, fuck that. I said, cut my hair, cut my care. Like letting go,
yeah.
Stop caring what people think, and I reach like a new pinnacle of happiness and peace.
So, first of all, good for Jalen, because that's an important part of this. And this is so difficult, so hard for a player to do when you're out there, everywhere you go, people love you. All right. Everywhere Jalen goes, out in public, if he were to walk down Newbury Street, he'd be mobbed. He goes into a shop or a restaurant or something like that. People want to say, I love you, and kind of take a picture and an autograph and all of that stuff. At the same time, you hear, as a player, it's obvious that he does, hear the negative things that, you know, maybe you can't do this. Maybe he hears, like I said before, maybe he hears me say, I think his ceiling is maybe a high-end role player. And you know, that pisses him off. And hey, if I was a player at 21 and, you know, when I was playing and somebody said that to me, I'd be pissed too. Be like, you know what? I'm going to show you exactly what I can be. And even if it's well-meaning or just an honest assessment, then you still, as a player, you player come at it from a different perspective. And so you can let that get to your head. You can let that get into your consciousness, and it can seep into your game. And that's really what anxiety is. It's something that creeps into your consciousness and says, you're not good enough, or it makes you worry about things. It makes you feel anxious about whatever it is that you're doing. And so I want to be clear first about something. I applaud Jalen Brown for talking about this. This is very important to talk about. And you know me, my stance on mental health issues. It is extraordinarily important for him to not only talk about it, but to talk about it so casually and say, yeah, this is a matter of fact, I have this, and the best thing for me was to do blah, blah, blah. And everybody handles it differently. So I definitely want to make sure that I express gratitude and congratulations and just as positive as I can be about sharing something like that, because it's important to share. The more we share about this, the less of a stigma it becomes. So Jalen has dealt with this, and he is channeling it into a positive thing by trying not to focus on these negative things that teams players hear about their team, themselves, and all of that. So you take it and ignore it or channel it in a positive way. That's important. And everybody does it differently. And as long as he's coming into like a healthy place, I'm happy for him. But it's difficult to be constantly surrounded and ignore it. It takes a lot of effort to hear something or actively try not to hear something, especially when you're as online as Jalen is. I mean, he's on Twitter. He's on Instagram. He's a young dude. He's a 23-year-old kid. Sorry, no disrespect, but I mean, to me, you're a kid, 23. I'm twice your age. You're figuring stuff out. I keep going off in these little tangents. These thoughts keep popping into my head. At 23, to be a professional athlete, you look at these guys on the court. I've got Lakers Nuggets going on in the background here. You look at these guys on the court, and we see them as like these finished products. And it goes back to what Jalen said at the beginning. People thought I peaked at 21. I think people kind of see a lot of these guys, unless you're a superstar player, and you say, oh, wow, I know this kid's going to get better. Unless you have that superstar expectations, you see these guys as finished products. Everybody's always a finished product until they add something new. You go, okay. So it's hard, a 23-year-old or whatever, early 20-year-old, to navigate a lot of this stuff, because I know of 22, 23-year-olds out there on Instagram acting stupid and trying to be, you know, whoever they are. And, you know, you're not a finished product at 21 or 22 or 23. You're not a finished product as a human being. You're not a finished product as a player. You're not a finished product as anything at that age. You're just not. So it's, I can see how anxiety can creep in, and I can see how this can be tough. It's not easy. And a lot of guys in the past haven't had to deal with this stuff. And that's just such a huge difference in today's NBA, where we compare these players across these eras, and we say, well, the rules were different. Every time I make an argument, oh, the rules were different. The league was different and all of that stuff. But we don't talk about at all the way life is different in 2020 than it was in 1980 for Larry Bird as a rookie, or 1981, 82 for those guys. And it wasn't that long ago. It was 40 years ago. Is that right? Yeah, that's my math. 40 years ago. But life now, there's a lot more mental health issues out there, because social media created this kind of atmosphere where we're always putting ourselves on display. We get a lot of personal self-worth out of likes and retweets and, you know, shares and stuff like that. Like, young people nowadays have this built-in anxiety because of the world, this overly connected world where everybody's so encouraged to share everything. Then you throw in a $115 million contract. That's a lot of money for a guy. And then you throw in the extensive media coverage, where not only are there television stations. Not only are there radio stations, there's national media. There are podcasts all over the place. There are many more outlets for writers. That locker room at the end of a game is jammed. Like dozens of people in a locker room for a January regular season game. It is crushed with media. And again, back in Bird's day, I mean, sure, it was a lot of media, but you had the Globe and the Herald and some of the other local newspapers, but not the all of the media outlets, the online media outlets and all that stuff. So it's just a completely different atmosphere for these guys. So I say all that to, I'm not even really sure what the entire point is to say, other than it's hard. And I've said that a bunch, but like, I get it from Jalen's perspective. I can't understand it necessarily because I'm not that guy. I'm, you know, haven't been in his shoes, and it's obviously extraordinarily different backgrounds, but just from a player's standpoint, like all of this other stuff that just adds up to pressure, a lot of pressure. And on top of it, you're in Boston and you're expected to win. And when things don't go well, it can get ugly in the media for sure, especially if you're listening to sports talk radio. So it's difficult for him. It's difficult for a lot of guys. And, you know, some guys seem to have that attitude of, yeah, whatever. They naturally have that, whatever attitude. I know I wouldn't. That's not who I am. That's not how I'm wired. I'm not wired to just kind of like casually be like, well, I don't give a shit. Like, I do give a shit. Like, I do. That's how I'm wired. And I think Jalen is wired like that a little bit too. That he can't help. Like, all of this stuff that he says, I believe him. But I think part of why he says that stuff sometimes is to convince himself. And so he can get into that mental place. Because I do think that he cares. I just think that he's the type of person who does care. And that's how some people are. Like I said, that's how I am. So a lot of interesting stuff there from Jaylen Brown. All right. Next, I'm going to take this series, Passing the Torch. You have Kemba, you have Jason Tatum, and you have Marcus Smart. And they're talking to Tommy and Paul Pierce and Dave Cowens. And, not bad, but I got better combinations, I think. And that's coming up next.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
A year ago, the Boston Celtics put together this thing called Passing the Torch. And it's really cool because it takes somebody from the past and gets them talking to somebody in the present. And I love it. I love it because the generational differences color how these guys see the game. But also, they're two basketball players talking. And I just love seeing that. So last year, they did Cousy and Kyrie, Satch Sanders and Jaylen Brown, Danny Ainge and Marcus Smart. And I liked those pairings because they made sense to me. That Cousy and Kyrie, both wizards with the ball. Satch Sanders, Jaylen Brown, intellectual guys. Danny Ainge, Marcus Smart, instigators. That made a lot of sense. So this year, you've got, it was Grant Williams with Dave Cowens. I might have misspoken earlier. But Kemba Walker and Paul Pierce, Grant Williams and Dave Cowens, Jason Tatum and Tommy Heinsohn. Great pairings, sure. I got better ones. Actually, I don't have a better one for Grant Williams because Dave Cowens is a great one. An undersized center who hustled his ass off and worked harder than anybody would work is exactly the guy Grant Williams should talk to. I think that was... That's if you know what Dave Cowens was to the Celtics, that's who he was. The original small ball center under Tommy Heinsohn, who came in and would play on the perimeter and be a playmaker and would work his ass off to piss off the bigger guys and make those guys work, and really was the heart and soul of the Celtics in those 70s. They had two championships in the 70s. And Tommy Heinsohn, a disciple of Red Auerbach, wanted to run and gun, and Cowens was the right guy. So Grant talking to Cowens, I'm down with that. Kemba and Paul Pierce, I want to switch that, because Jason Tatum should be talking to Paul Pierce. Absolutely, Jason Tatum should be talking to Paul Pierce. That you've got two guys who the Celtics drafted and who have these high expectations. Pierce understands coming into Boston and dealing with those expectations. And now Pierce obviously has a different background as far as, you know, the stabbing incident, and he came in a different era, and he came in with a much different attitude. He went through a lot of crap. Obviously, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I think Tatum, not just because they share the same game, but because being a guy that's drafted and understanding the expectations of playing in this city and being the guy that kind of works his way into the number one spot. I mean, remember that Pierce came in after Antoine Walker was already in Boston, and Antoine made all rookie. Antoine was getting, you know, all of the attention after excelling on a bad team, and Pierce slowly kind of passed him. And to talk to Tatum for, you know, as a guy who will pass other guys who are already here before him, it's going to be interesting conversation, interesting perspective. So not just because they're small forwards, not just because they have mid-range crafty games and all of that stuff, it's because the expectations that Pierce has experienced, I think, would be beneficial for him and Tatum to talk about. So Kemba, I would like to see him talk to Tiny Archibald, because obviously Tiny Archibald is a smaller guy. So two smaller guys talking about the chip on their shoulders and playing with that kind of drive to excel at that height. The other thing is Archibald's from the South Bronx and Kemba's from the Bronx. And so I'm sure that Kemba has heard the legends of Tiny Archibald. And so that Bronx connection will immediately draw something special, I think, out of those guys. That's once you get that kind of connection, I want to see that that conversation. So little guys from the Bronx. And here's the other thing. Tiny Archibald came to the Boston Celtics. Now, under much different circumstances, Archibald had gotten hurt. And so he came to Boston as more of a role player. Like, he was forced into being a role player because of his past injuries. He was past his prime. And so it's different for him. But still, star player from other teams now coming to Boston and working into a system with a bunch of other star players. He came to Boston and had to work within a system of Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish. And so he walked into a ready-made kind of winner, and he had to integrate himself into that. Obviously, Kemba is better at this stage of his career than Tiny Archibald was at that stage of his career, but he was still a star player somewhere else that came into Boston and had to kind of play alongside other great talents. And so that conversation, I think that they mirror each other so well that I think that would be the way I want that to go. And only because when I looked at the pairings and everything on Twitter, I made Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart was in the last one. He's not in this one. And Marcus Smart, like I said, talking to Danny Ainge was great. I would love to have Marcus Smart back so he can talk to Casey Jones. Now, someone made me aware on Twitter that Casey Jones may be having some health issues, which I hope is not the case, because I think that would be a great conversation to watch. Because, again, very similar guys. Casey came in to Boston in the same draft as Bill Russell. It was 1950. Is that the draft? I forget the number, the year. But he came in the draft with Bill Russell. They were at USF together. Casey Jones was Marcus Smart before Marcus Smart. He was a stout defender who was sneaky, crafty, would do things to get under people's skin, did not care about scoring so much, went out there and was just going to defend his ass off. He was such a good defender that he actually got a tryout to play in the NFL and was looking at playing for the Rams. And he actually pioneered what you now know as bump and run coverage. He was so physical and so good and so gifted athletically that he could go up and jam a receiver and then stay with him. And so that football mentality, that defense-first mentality, to see a Hall of Fame player, a guy whose number is retired in Boston for strictly playing some of the best defense the league has ever seen, is somebody that Marcus Smart should be talking to. Because I think one of the things that Marcus Smart has a chip on his shoulder about is the fact that defensive guys don't get the same respect. And so for him to have a conversation with Casey Jones about being that kind of defender back in the day before, that kind of defender was known and appreciated, I think it would be a great conversation. Those would be my pairings. I'd like to see, and I hope that Casey is doing well, or doing well enough to whatever he's dealing with, recover or whatever. I'm not 100% sure what's going on, but I hope he's doing okay. So that's the Thursday podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it, and hope you've enjoyed enough to subscribe. Be back after the Clippers game. I think it's going to be a quick one because I got to get out and turn around and go back out to Chicago, back home for a day, then out to Chicago, then back home for a few days and back out for a West Coast trip. It's a crazy month, but we're here for you. I'm going to keep going for you. Hopefully you enjoy the stuff. Subscribe to the show. Regular listeners, give this show a 5-star rating, a good written review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.